We're going to continue to study God's Word together, and this time we're going to go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians is titled, but I believe it's to the saints everywhere, believers everywhere, even to you and to me. Beginning in verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I believe that the book of Ephesians is so explicit on the church, the structure of the church. And I believe also, beloved, that more than anywhere else, we see our position in Christ as we read this epistle. In Christ. And that's the position of believers. We are in Christ. And the Bible teaches positional truth and practical truth. And when we read this epistle, we find ourselves in Christ. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all the way through, we are in Christ. Now, the portion we have before us today, it addresses first of all the position of Gentiles before they came to know Christ. I call this portion, verses 11 to 13, the outsiders. Outsiders. And we'll find that out when we continue. Then the next division I have is the oneness of the body. The oneness of the body, verses 14 through 18. And then we're going to look at the occupation. The occupation of the body. For we are an habitation of God. Habitation of God by his Spirit. He inhabits us. So the outsiders, the oneness, and the occupation. Paul reminds these Gentile believers that in time past, before they came to know Jesus Christ, who brought them into the fold, they were Gentiles by birth. And as such, they were outsiders, outcasts as far as Jews are concerned. They were referred to as uncircumcision. Let me say this. This was not a term of endearment. If you want to take it a step further, it was an ethnic slur. You are uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, by the Jews. We're looked upon as uncircumcised. One of the most classic usage of this term. You remember when Goliath, the monster of Gath, challenged the people of God there in 1 Samuel 17, "Give me a man to fight with me." And he said, "I defy the armies of the living God. I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man." And there was not a man in the camp to respond when young David came, because as far as David was concerned, to his father he was just a lad. To his father he was just a messenger to go and take victuals for, you use that word, food for his older brothers who were in the camp. And to take their place, see what they want. Come back, you little messenger boy. And David went, and on one occasion, it was when Goliath came forth, and bad news for Goliath, David heard him. David heard him. And David inquired, "What shall be done to the man who defeat this Philistine?" But you know, I don't know if you have an older brother, but older brothers, they seem to be a pest. They don't like you to be better than in anything. You know, I was a younger brother, and I was better than the older brothers, and they couldn't handle it. When it comes to sports, I was the best, and they couldn't handle it. Here comes Eliab. "What are you doing here, you naughty boy? You got a business here. You have left where you left the sheep, those few sheep." You know, he didn't say you left the sheep, those few sheep. He wanted to belittle him. And you know, he said, "I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know your pride." That's what Eliab said. In total contradiction of what God said. God said today of David, "He's a man after mine own heart." He didn't have a naughty heart. He didn't have a prideful heart. But he had a heart for God and for the work of the Lord. David didn't really respond to him harshly. He says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Then he went on to inquire, "What shall be done? What shall be done to the man who defeated?" You know what bugged David? It was not so much that he was challenging the armies, but he was defying the armies of the living God. And David said, "What shall be done to this uncircumcised Philistine? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He was angry. I'm going to use a word. I don't know if you use it here. His ire was stirred up. You use that word. And David responded. We know what the story was, but the Philistine was a Gentile. He was uncircumcised. And who are you to talk that way about the armies of the living God? So that's who we were as Gentiles. It was Gentile. We were outsiders. Look at the language, beloved. Outsiders. We were without Christ. Without Christ. As Gentiles, we had no Messiah, no Savior, no Deliverer. Gentiles, none. It was to Israel that Jesus came. You remember when that Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord Jesus? Her daughter was ill. And the Lord didn't answer her. And the disciples said, get rid of her. She is a nuisance. She's a nuisance. Get rid of her. But Jesus says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's to whom I came. The lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come to you. We often quote John 1. It says, to whom Jesus came? We were without a Savior, without a Messiah. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many. That's where we came in. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. But we were without, the Gentiles, without a Messiah, a Savior, a Deliverer. Jesus came to his own. He came to the Jews. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 11, the promise of the Messiah. Chapter 11, verse 10 says this. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand for an ensign of the people. To him shall the nations seek, and the rest shall be glorious. The nations seek him. The Gentile will seek him. But he comes to his people. The promise of the Messiah was made to a Jew. God said to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we were outsiders. Outsiders. It says further of the Gentiles, beloved, aliens. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. An alien is one that does not belong. That's who we were. Aliens. We don't belong. Strangers from the covenants of promise. What that means, beloved, is that we did not have the rights or the privileges of citizenship. We didn't have the rights and the privileges of the Jews. Then he says, without hope. Wow. That's a sad place to be hopeless. Without hope. and without God. Without the God of heaven. Oh, they may have had their heathen gods. They may have their gods of wood and stone and iron. But they were without the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the plight of the Gentiles before Christ. More said of the outsiders, beloved. It says of us Gentiles that we're strangers from the covenants of promise. When God made a promise, a covenant with his people, we were not part of it. Look at the covenants. No part. Strangers from the covenants of promise. God made covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, Moses, David. You know the Davidic covenant about the kingdom of God. All these covenants were made through the Jews. God didn't make any covenant with Gentiles. God said to Moses, a prophet, and our brother Glenn read about the prophet this morning. He says, a prophet in Deuteronomy 18, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from among yourselves, from among the Jews of your own brethren. Unto him shall you hearken. He's going to come from among you, not from among the Gentiles. When God promised Abraham a son, I want to read that one. When God made that promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, it's other places too. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, I want to read that one. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So we were strangers from that covenant. We had no part of that covenant. Outsiders, I call it. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. You know, beloved, you may have heard this term before. It might make you chuckle a little, but I love it when God butts in. He butted in, beloved, that's what it says in verse 13, but now. But now. You know, we used to sing a song a long time ago that a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Before I was nothing. He says, but now. In Christ. Remember, we mentioned that. This is about being in Christ. In Christ Jesus. Ye who once were afar off. Gentiles, afar off. You couldn't even worship with the Jews. You couldn't even go close to the place of worship. You had to stand afar off. Amen. Wow. By the blood of Jesus. You know, if I had my way, I'd just stay here and labor this point. Because I don't know what happened to Christians today. We are afraid to mention the blood. We have eliminated the blood from our hymnals. Some modern translators have left it out of the text. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, what happened through his blood. Beloved, nothing happened. Nothing happened to us of consequence. Nothing good happened except through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Some places they say amen to that. I had to beg for that, right? That's good though. The blood. What cost? We have been brought near, beloved, but at what cost? The blood of Christ. We sang in one of our hymns this morning, one of the stanza went like this. No longer far from him, but now by, no longer far from him, but now by precious blood brought nigh. Accepted in the well-beloved, near to God's heart we lie. The blood, it's about the blood. We are going back to Cain. He didn't like blood except to spill the blood of his brother. We don't like to talk about blood. It's a morbid subject. We don't like to talk about the blood. Some people call it, that's a butcher shop gospel. Well, let me tell you, this Bible that we read is a crimson book. It is filled with blood from Genesis to Revelation. Don't forget the blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were a Pharaoh, made near by the blood of Christ. No redemption apart from blood. No separation of sin from the sinner apart from blood. And no Gentile redemption apart from the blood. It's the blood of Christ that invites us near. Another hymn we sing, positionally near, so near, so very near to God that nearer we cannot be. That's positionally. For in the person of his Son, we are as near as he. Near. We who sometimes were afar off are made near. God says that we need to be near to him. We are to near to call upon him. Call upon him. Galatians tells us the magnitude, it tells us also of the great distance that God has brought us into, from, and into. It says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and because ye are sons, remember we were aliens, strangers, without God, without hope. That's what we were. But now, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Could you have called God Father before? Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, no more a servant, but a son. Remember, from an alien, a stranger, to a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Our position, through Christ, in Christ, That's where we are. Positionally near. But practically, beloved, practically, you and I must draw near. Positionally, we are near. We are brought into fellowship and communion. We are children of God. But how do we act? How do we behave? We have to draw near practically in our daily lives. We have to draw near. That's what we're exhorted to do. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. You who are far off, you who are outsiders, now you have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here it is again, beloved. Here it is again. I'm going to belabor it every time I see it. By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Here it is. Let us draw near practically. In our practice. In our everyday life. Let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, the body is washed with pure water. I got to move on, though. The next stage we have here is the oneness of the body. Outsiders are now in. Now we have the oneness of the body. It says, he is our peace. Imagine, he is our peace. The enmity has been removed. And if we go back to the Old Testament, beloved, and we think of the peace offering, you know, the peace offering in type is what we have here. Because when the Lord Jesus offered himself without spot to God as the burnt offering, he offered himself also as a peace offering, making peace. He is our peace. There is no peace apart from him. One of his names in the prophecy of Isaiah is that he is the Prince of Peace. When God called that young man in Exodus chapter 6, Gideon, after the people were so subservient to their enemies, the Midianites, and God was going to deliver them, God called them a young man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon wanted some assurance, and Gideon wanted to see a vision, and the Lord appeared to him. In chapter 6 of Judges, it says in verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Because he had seen an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. He had seen the angel of the Lord. He said, you will not die. Peace be unto you. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. And called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. That's what it means. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Unto this day, it is yet in Oprah, the buyer's right. The Lord is our peace. Sadly, the nation of Israel, if you go over there, more than anything else, the word you would hear is shalom. Shalom. Peace. They long for peace, but they have rejected the Prince of Peace. And they're looking for peace without accepting the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. No peace. Shalom. And on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath. Oh, on the Sabbath, shalom, shalom, Shabbat. Longing for peace, a peaceful Sabbath. Gideon called the name of the place, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. He is our peace. Not only is he our peace, but he preached peace. He made peace, first of all, through the blood of his cross on Calvary. He made peace. And making peace, he broke down the middle wall of partition between us. He bridged the gap and he brought Jews and Gentiles together through the blood of his cross. And he removed the enmity. And he preached peace. He preached peace. First words he uttered to those he met after his resurrection, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace. And before he left, he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not only he is our peace, but he made peace through the blood of his cross, and he preached peace. What cost? His blood. His blood. We are near positionally, and we can draw near practically. We can draw near. Let us draw near. The oneness of the body. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ abolished the enmity between Jew and Gentile, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know, they boasted to Gentile, the Jews boasted that you don't have any God, you don't have any commandments, God, you don't belong to him. And now there's no distinction. Now we've lost our national identity. Even though some people want to hang on to it, hold on to it to their life, I don't know why, it's not worth anything. There's no such a thing as Jewish believers and this believers and that believer. All nationality, all national distinctions removed. He has made both one. One new man, that's the church. Before Christ, before conversion, there were two sets of people in the world. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. Now there are three sets of people in the world. Oh yeah. There are three sets of people in the world. Paul says, give no offense to the Jews or the Gentiles or the church of God. There's a third group, the church of God. And that's made up of Jew and Gentile. So you still have Jews, you still have Gentiles, and you still have the church of God. I know which one I belong to. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the crimson, cleansed by his blood, redeemed by his blood. He made in himself of two, one new man. This is not a person, this is the church. One new man, so make him peace. And now we can say with the apostles, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, even national identity distinctions All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a whole lot more we can say, but our time is gone almost. Oh, beloved, don't blame me. Didn't give me enough time, okay? Don't blame me. It's not my fault. I just started 10 minutes ago. So bear with me because I have to finish this. We have access. Access. The one that's, we have access into the Holy of Holies. You who were Gentiles, you who were aliens, you who were strangers, you who were without God, now we have access. Man, what a change has come about, beloved. What a change. We have access. You know what happened under the old economy? One man from one family, from one tribe, from the one nation, on one day of the week, of the one day of the year rather, could go into the Holy of Holies. One. You can pick a day, it's on that day. The Day of Atonement. Today we call it Yom Kippur, most sacred day in the Jewish calendar. But it's different for us. Let us come boldly. Anytime, beloved. You can come at 1 o'clock. You can come at 5 o'clock. You can come even when you're lying on your bed. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't have to pick a day. We have access into his presence. I'm going to leave that because, I have to look at the habitation. I can't leave without looking at the habitation. God inhabits his people. This is the church, beloved, and God inhabits this church. God lives here. He lives in us. Take it in, beloved, because I want to tell you, the Bible says the habitation of God is holy. The temple of God is holy. He lives here. He occupies his people through his Spirit. Let me read the habitation again. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up together upon the foundation of the apostles. It doesn't mean that we are built on Paul and Peter. We're not built on them. We are built on their confession. We are built on their teaching, and they taught that Jesus Christ is the only foundation. That's what it means. We're not built on Paul and Peter. We are built on Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And that's what they taught. And that's what we build on. Peter said of the Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We can't go into it, but you know the teaching on that. No longer aliens. Listen, beloved. No longer dogs. Dogs? Yeah. Gentiles were called dogs. Dogs. No longer dogs. No longer outsiders. Fellow citizens. We are part of this building, beloved, and Christ is the temple, Christ is the chief cornerstone of the temple. You and I are that temple that he's building. And you're not a stranger anymore. You're a brick. You're a living stone. You are a living stone. And you're part and parcel of this mystic building, the church. We are building on a daily basis. And Christ is adding to the church such as should be saved. I hate to rush, but our time is up. The foundation is Christ. The cornerstone is Christ, and there's several teachings on the cornerstone, but I like the cornerstone, the one to the left of the building, like here, that joins the two. That's what I like. That's the one I like. Keeps the building together. And he is the chief cornerstone. You see how this brings these together? Yeah, he is the chief cornerstone. That's the one I like. Believers, what a change. You are living stones. Living stones. Believers, you are an habitation of God by his Spirit. When the Lord Jesus was leaving, he said, I am going away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he shall be in you, he shall be with you, and he shall abide with you forever. In 1 Corinthians 3, I'm winding it down, beloved. Bear with me, I'm winding it down, believe me. I'm winding it down quickly. What was I going to say? That's the senior moment. Anyhow, the Lord Jesus, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit shall be in us and abide with us and shall be in us. We are the habitation of God by his Spirit. He inhabits us. We are part and parcel of that church, that building. The temple of God is holy. Yes. What I was going to say is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that building, that habitation is the church. The church. We don't have time to read it, but you can read 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. That's it. We are the temple of the living God. Then go to chapter 6. Now, the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's something else. But we're talking about the church because we are in Christ. I'm talking about the church, and this is what Ephesians teaches us, the body of Christ. Ephesians is about being in Christ. Being in Christ. You and I are in Christ, beloved. We are inhabited by Christ to his Spirit. So we started way out there, beloved. We started way out there as outsiders. I'm not going to say anymore. I have a whole lot more I can say, but our time is up. I don't want you to get upset with me. I want to stay on your good side. So good to be with you, beloved. Remember where we came from and where we are. We're outsiders. Through the blood of Christ, he brought us near. We are not aliens and strangers anymore. We are members of his body. He's our Father now. He's our Father. We can call him Father. He said to Mary, go to my brethren and tell them, I go to your Father and my Father, to your God. And my God. God bless his word. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. It's a day of worship and service. We thank thee, our Father, for bringing us together. We thank thee for the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for the privilege of sharing thy word and having fellowship with the saints in declaring the counsel of God.
We pray that the word would dwell in our hearts richly unto all wisdom. We pray that we'd appreciate what thou hast brought us from and what thou hast brought us into. And may we always be living in the good of what thou hast done for us. Even though we are near positionally, give us grace, therefore, to draw near, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Help us to recognize, too, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He dwells in our midst. God inhabits us by his Spirit. We are the temple of God, and the temple of God is holy. We give thee thanks, and we ask thy blessing on the saints. Bless every family here. Remember those who are not feeling well, there are those who are ailing, even some among us, Lord, we ask for your special blessing, your special touch, your healing hand on their bodies and minds, and restore them, Lord, to good health and strength, for there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. We commit all the saints to thee, comfort of those who are sad, and strengthen those who are weak, and watch over us and guide us. May thy blessing go continually with us. May your peace be our abiding portion. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.